Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, and Halloween's a great day for us to be discussing what I'm going to be going into in some detail, which is this lurid attack upon Paul Pelosi and Nancy Pelosi's $6 million mansion in San Francisco. Before we turn there, and the timing, by the way, for the Democrats could not be worse. There's a stunning poll out from CBS, not known to be friendly to conservatives, to MAGA supporters, or to Donald Trump. Get this, shock poll. Nearly 8 of 10 Americans believe the country is out of control. Independents break hard to GOP. With just over a week until Election Day, the mood of the country portends doom for the party in power, the Democrats. A new CBS News Battleground Tracker YouGov poll shows 79% of Americans believe the country is out of control, with only 21% saying things are under control. The poll also shows a sharp break by independents to Republicans took place over the past 2 weeks. Since unleashing Dark Brandon on the nation, Democrat polling has taken a nosedive. And remember, Dark Brandon was that speech he gave with the blood-red curtains in the background of two Marines where he went after the MAGAs as domestic terrorists and all the other horse shit. CBS News poll, here's a tweet, out of control. Heading into the final week before Election Day, 8 in 10 voters describe things in the country today as out of control as opposed to under control. Another, that doesn't bode well for the party in power. Republicans are winning, those who say out of control right now. 58% voting Republican, 34% voting Democrat. The views on the direction of the state of the economy in the country are almost as bad. 73% believe things are going badly in America. 42% say very badly. Only 26% say things are going well. 6% say very well. 69% say the economy is bad, 40% very bad, while 27% say the economy is good, 7% very good. Joe Biden's approval disapproval is 44 to 56, 22% strongly approve, 44% strongly disapprove. In the generic congressional ballot preference question, Republicans have a two-point advantage, 47 to 45 over Democrats. It's actually higher than that, but this is the result of this specific poll. Independents favor Republicans by an astonishing 49% to 33. 2 weeks ago, the Democrats were favored 40% to 38. Look at that switch. Stunning. Stunning. The Democrats have dropped 7% from 40 to 33, and the Republicans have gained 11 from 38 to 49. Here's an interactive poll tweet. CBS News YouGov genetic congressional trend among independents October 14th. Democrats 40 to 38 plus 2. October 28, Republicans 49, Democrats 33, Republicans plus 16. That's an 18-point swing among independent toward the GOP. Here's another on the generic congressional. 2022 generic congressional, GOP 49, Dems 33, GOP plus 16. Biden job approval, approved 32, disapproved 68. Biden job approval intensity, strongly approved 12%, strongly disapproved 52%. Prices with Democrats in control go up 57%, go down 8%. The poll also shows a dramatic shift by Hispanic voters toward Republicans as compared with the 2018 midterm election. Tweet. With just over a week to go before the midterm election, the latest CBS Battleground Tracker poll finds Republicans with a single digit among Hispanics. Context. The same poll gave Democrats a 24-point lead with Hispanics at this point in 2018. So that would be a shift in 23 points lost for the Democrats. I mean, this is just staggering. The poll offered a myriad of questions across many topics. One response that stood out was a failure of the Biden administration to buy political support by draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to lower gas prices at the pump after Biden policies raised them by several dollars per gallon. Only 11% credit Biden and the Democrats for the price of gas. Well, 52% blame them. And similar numbers for the economy. Here we go. CBS News tweet, the economy. The Republicans have an edge over the Democrats with voters on whose economic policies would help them more. Republicans 46%, Democrats 40%, both equal or neither 14%. This comes as more than half of voters blame Biden and the Dems for the economy and gas prices. Gas prices and the economy. Biden and the Democrats deserve blame. For gas prices, 52%. For the economy, 53%. Credit for gas prices, 11%. For the economy, 18%. Neither. Gas prices, 36%. Economy, 29%. Obama said he took a shellacking in 2010. Bush said he took a thumping in 2006. What will Biden call next week's election? It's going to be a slaughter. Now, the fact is that these polls are so stunning. The Democrats are going to do everything they can to steal the election. But I'm having an increasingly difficult time seeing how they're going to be able to pull it off. How are they going to be able to pull it off? I mean, really, truly. And now we have this stunning story about Paul Pelosi. It could not come at a worse time for the Democrats. And God knows Nancy Pelosi is a monster, deserves it. Get this. one of the more innocuous reports about it. Police dispatch audio. Paul Pelosi, when calling cops, said he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and he is a friend. Think about that. That's right on the police audio, because, of course, every 911 call is recorded. I mean, this is absolutely crucial. So he began with a pretense that he did not know the party who was attacking him. And then he admits, actually, he's a friend, and his name is David. I mean, my God, how bad is this? It means he realized he was going to get nailed on this for this monstrous lie, but he'd already said it. He'd already slipped. Here's part of the recording then. PR is the reporting person. PR stated that there's a male in the home and that he's going to wait for his wife. PR stated he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend. The dispatch official said, it's RP rather than PR. RP, reporting person, sounded somewhat confused. Later in the day, the FBI visit the Berkeley home linked to DePaup, which neighbors call the hippie collective. NBC Bay Area's Jason Vanderbecken reported. FBI visits Berkeley home tied to Pelosi beating suspect. The Victorian is dubbed a hippie collective by neighbors. Here's more. Paul Pelosi had surgery to repair a fractured skull, injured right arm and hand. Drew Hamill, spokesman for Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, issued a statement Friday afternoon updating the condition of Paul Pelosi, the Speaker's 82-year-old husband. Yours truly will be 82 in December. He was attacked at the couple's home, San Francisco home, early Friday morning. Nancy Pelosi was reportedly in Washington, D.C. when the attack occurred. Earlier this morning, this is now Drew Hamill, spokesman for Speaker Pelosi. Paul Pelosi was attacked at home by an assailant who acted with force and threatened his life while demanding to see the Speaker. By the way, interjected here is trending exclusive. Two right-wing websites attributed to David DePaup, who's supposed to be the attacker, to smear conservatives were fabricated. They were created Friday and deleted Saturday. The Democrats are in one hell of a pickle here. Mr. Pelosi was admitted to Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital, where he underwent successful surgery to repair a skull fracture and serious injuries to his right arm and hands. His doctors expect a full recovery. The Speaker and her family are thankful for the outpouring of support and prayers from friends, constituents, and people around the country. The Pelosi family is immensely grateful to Mr. Pelosi's entire medical team and the law enforcement officers who responded to the assault. The family appreciates respect for their privacy during this time, right? Respect for their privacy, right? You got Pelosi lying about who was his assailant, claiming he didn't know who the guy was, and then admitting he's a friend and his first name is David. They want privacy? If there were ever a story that's not going to get any privacy, this is it. Numerous news outlets incorrectly reported that Paul Pelosi underwent brain surgery. Here's Jake Sherman tweeting. NBC Bay Area has changed their story to say Paul Pelosi had surgery on his head, really on the cranium, on the skull, not brain surgery. And there's a photo of the two of them, Nancy and Paul. Nancy Pelosi's husband violently assaulted in home invasion. Here's another. This is from the Daily Mail Online. Paul Pelosi in brain surgery after 2 a.m. hammer attack in $6 million San Francisco home. $6 million home. And you think they don't have state-of-the-art security in the $6 million home in San Francisco for the Speaker of the House, who, by the way, has Secret Service protection? Reports this afternoon state that Paul Pelosi surreptitiously dialed 911 around 2:27 a.m. Pacific time while confronting the man who allegedly broke into the Pelosi home. Pelosi was able to let the dispatcher know he needed help without alerting the intruder. Here's ACYN tweeting. Somehow, Paul Pelosi had the quick reaction, the quick instinct to wait until the intruder was distracted and then managed to dial 911 to summon police while it was happening. I mean, just envision the story we're getting here. This guy's being beaten with a hammer, according to the story, sufficiently to give him a skull fractures, and yet he's able to dial 911 while it's taking place. Have you heard anything this absurd? Here's Aslan again, ACYN. Somehow he gets on his cell phone and dials 911. He leaves that line open. Paul Pelosi is basically trying to tell her in code what's going on. And we have a photo. Nancy Pelosi's husband battered with hammer in 2 a.m. break-in on CNN. Now, we're starting to get more. And in fact, in these stories, there are a whole lot of comments that are more interesting than the story itself, to which I shall return. Meanwhile, the Independent. Elon Musk shares lurid conspiracy theory about Paul Pelosi attack in response to Hillary Clinton. Elon Musk has shared a lurid, baseless, how could they know baseless? A lurid, baseless conspiracy theory on Twitter about what transpired the night of the violent hammer attack on Paul Pelosi, just days after he took over the social media platform on the promise of stripping away content moderation. On Saturday, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton hit out at members of the GOP for spreading hate and deranged conspiracy theories. After it emerged that Mr. Pelosi's alleged attacker had been spewing far-right conspiracies online in the lead-up to Friday's assault. This is all utter nonsense. This guy was a lefty. He wasn't right. I mean, just Hillary will lie about anything, just like the rest of the Democrats. I mean, it's completely disgusting. The Republican Party and its mouthpieces, this is Hillary, of course, now regularly spread hate and deranged conspiracy theories. It is shocking, but not surprising, that violence is the result, she tweeted. And so, you see, once again, it's Donald Trump who's responsible for this attack on Paul Pelosi, where he calls up and says he doesn't know his attacker and then admits he actually is a friend and his name is David. And if you only knew that much about it, and everyone knew that much about it from the beginning because that was already the initial story, how could the Daily Mail say a lurid, baseless conspiracy theory? How could they know it's baseless? They couldn't. Total propaganda. Hillary, as citizens, we must hold them accountable for their words and the actions that follow. Remember, this is a monster who is deeply involved in Pizzagate. Believe me, John Podesta appears to be the chief pedophile conspirator in the effing world. John Podesta. Buddy, campaign manager to Hillary Clinton. She's profoundly involved in all that nonsense. So is Nancy Pelosi, who even has her own pizzeria, Goat's Hill Pizza in San Francisco, where when I began talking about Nancy, a follower, actually went to Pelosi Pizzeria and took photographs. And you saw on the walls of this pizzeria a whole lot of drawings by little kids, and there were three men looking there, sitting there, who it appeared to be weren't waiting for their sausage and pepperoni. I'm telling you, Nancy Pelosi is deep into this pedophilia stuff. She drinks adrenochrome. There's this wonderful diagram of what Nancy would look like if she were off her adrenochrome. All this, of course, is my conclusions based on all the research I've done here. But I'm telling you, this appears to be exactly how it is. Mr. Musk, who completed his takeover of the social media platform on Thursday, responded to Ms. Clinton Sunday by pushing a conspiracy theory to his 112 million followers that the attack that left the 82-year-old hospitalized with serious injuries was not what it seemed. Well, there's nothing lurid about that. There's a tiny possibility There might be more to this story than meets the eye, he wrote. I mean, what's lurid about that? What is lurid about that? There might be more to this story than meets the eye. What's lurid about that? Now, the real story does appear to be lurid. But it was not coming right there from that Elon Musk tweeting, there's a tiny possibility there might be more to this story than meets the eye. I mean, what an absurd overreaction. I'm telling you, the Democrats are so bad on this. This is huge. The Twitter and Tesla boss gave no explanation for his comment, simply shared a link to an article that claimed, without any evidence, that Mr. Pelosi was drunk and met his alleged attacker in a gay bar. It is one of several far-right conspiracies that began circulating online almost immediately after the attack on the House Speaker's husband, all the while the 82-year-old was in hospital undergoing surgery for a fractured skull. Well, gee, why would anyone be suspicious when he calls into 911 and says he's being attacked and he doesn't know an attacker, and then he changes his mind and tells him, well, actually, he's a friend and his name is David? Why would that lead to any concern or question about the authenticity of what we're getting here? Why would anyone think there could be more to this story? If that were all you knew about the case, just after 2 a.m. local on Friday morning, officers were called to the Pelosi San Francisco home after a man broke in looking for the Democratic lawmaker. Man broke in. Now they're presuming what appears to be false. David DePap, a 42-year-old hemp jewelry maker, was reportedly shouting, "Where is Nancy? Where is Nancy?" in search of the House Speaker. Ms. Pelosi's husband was home alone with his wife away in Washington, D.C. at the time. Now, by the way, someone let the police in, and it wasn't Paul Pelosi. So he wasn't at home alone. So once again, what the hell is the Independent doing, issuing this bullshit? Finding the House Speaker missing, Mr. DePap allegedly proceeded to try to tie Mr. Pelosi up in the aim of waiting until she returned home. Well, hell, if she's in Washington, D.C., how long might he have to wait? Weeks? The alarm was raised when Mr. Pelosi managed to secretly dial 911 from his cell phone and spoke in code to a dispatcher. And again, I say, how could this possibly happen if the kind of story we're getting here is remotely true? Then we get the Musk tweet. There is a tiny possibility there might be more to this story than meets the eye, and it's got a link to the story saying that he was drunk and he picked this guy up at a gay bar. The 82-year-old left the line open as he spoke to Mr. DePap, enabling the dispatcher to hear what was going on and send officers to the home. And we're going to get multiple reports about how the officers showed up, because there's another report that they were just doing a welfare check. Does that mean to go to the home to see if everything's okay? Well, maybe that is consistent. When officers arrived at the scene, police said they saw Mr. Pelosi and Mr. DePap with their hands on one hammer. And by the way, the nature of this hammer turns out to be very important. At that moment, Mr. DePap allegedly pulled the hammer away from Mr. Pelosi and violently assaulted him with it, striking him at least once. Mr. Pelosi was taken to hospital where he underwent surgery for a skull fracture on Friday. He also suffered serious injuries to his right arm and hands, but is expected to make a full recovery. Right arm and hands. Serious injuries to his right arm and hands. Think about that. We'll come back to that. San Francisco Police Chief William Scott said in a press conference the attack was intentional, not a random act. While he stopped short of detailing a motive, he referred to Ms. Pelosi's role as an elected official. It's wrong. Our elected officials are here to do business with our cities, our countries, our states, and this nation. Our family didn't sign up for this to be harmed, and it is wrong. Assuming this had anything to do with Nancy Pelosi per se, rather than with Paul, because he and Mr. DePap seem to have a long-standing relationship. We have other reports that he was in the car with Paul Pelosi when Paul Pelosi was arrested for driving under the influence not that long ago. They had a relationship. Police sources told KTVU that the assailant had a list of other lawmakers he also planned to target. That's just, so far as I can tell, total bullshit. A search of Mr. DePop's online history uncovered a deep-rooted obsession with extreme right-wing conspiracy theories, including debunked claims about the COVID vaccine and QAnon. This turns out to be complete and utter nonsense. Hillary, the Republican Party, tweeting, and its mouthpiece has now regularly spread hate and deranged conspiracy theories. It is shocking but not surprising that violence is the result. As citizens, we must hold them accountable for their words and the actions that follow. And here you have a photograph of accused Pelosi attacker David DePop spread QAnon, other far right, you know. It's just bullshit. It's not true. One subscription-based blog reviewed by the Independent Express a range of transphobic, anti-Semitic, and racist views. Don't believe it. In the weeks leading up to the violent assault on Mr. Pelosi, the pace of the post ramped up, with Mr. DePep posting several times a day. Topics included Holocaust denialism, false claims that COVID vaccines are lethal. Those are both, of course, well-founded positions. Venerating alt-right figure Jordan Peterson and his support for Donald Trump to run 2024 with Tulsi Gabbard as his running mate. My goodness. I mean, I'm the only one I know who's been suggesting Trump run with Tulsi. That's fascinating. Is he listening to me? A post from 23 August, and if he were, obviously, he's not a far-left zealot, on his alleged blog claims he was radicalized by Gamergate, a misogynist campaign against feminism with a video game industry that gave rise to far-right reactionary movements among young men, parallel to the emergence of the QAnon and Donald Trump's presidential candidacy. A separate blog hosted by WordPress hosted similar content, including a post titled Pedophile Normalization. Mr. DePop was arrested at the scene on charges of attempted homicide, assault with a deadly weapon, elder abuse, burglary, and other felonies. We're about to hit the break. More to continue right after.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, rereading this, Jordan Peterson, of whom I know not, apparently has also been advancing the idea of Trump running with Tulsi. So presumably that's a source for that idea. I concede and believe it's more probable he'll run with Ron DeSantis, but they have a problem with both being from Florida. The Constitution precludes that both a president for the candidate for president and for vice president be from the same state. So somehow they got to deal with that. Most easily, probably Trump moving his official residence back to New York City. But New York City is becoming a wasteland. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable what's going on. And I mentioned, by the way, this business about Pelosi having damage to his arm and his hand. I'm going to speculate that was from cuts on his arm and hand when he broke out a window pane in a door in the back of the residence so they could claim that the guy had broken in, when obviously he wasn't, he didn't break in. This was a guest of Bob Pelosi. Things went wrong because you have the glass on the outside, not on the end. So it's broken from the inside out. Now, this is just ridiculous. And to say all this is baseless, when you got Pelosi calling up and saying he doesn't know his attacker, then he admitting his name is David and he's a friend. And all these stories claiming there was a break-in when there was no break-in. I mean, the guy knows his name and he's a friend. And it's the same guy he was arrested with when he was picked up for driving under the influence. And now they're talking about all this as baseless conspiracy theories. And they talk about Holocaust denialism, false claims that COVID vaccines are lethal. My God, Aren't these people looking at the statistics? Public Health England is sensational. They show the skyrocketing death rate in England, especially if you're double or triple vax, man. You're virtually guaranteed your death is imminent. And we got the funeral director pulling out these blood clots that are made out of fibrous tissue like they've never seen before from anybody. Holocaust and all that, just look at a map. Look at a map of Auschwitz, for example. It's got a symphony hall. It has a woodworking shop. It has a hospital with OBGYN facilities. If these are death chambers, why in God's name would they have a facility for giving birth? And indeed, it turns out that anywhere from 200 to 2,000 children were born in these death camps. And in case you don't remember, human gestation is a 9-month process. And we got hundreds of these little kids coming out looking very healthy and fit from Buchenwald, for example. Nick Kohlstrom's book, Breaking the Spell, is just loaded with proof that these were labor camps. They were using the inmates for slave labor, and they were dousing them with Zyklon B, which is a mild form of cyanide, to kill body lice, because the body lice were spreading typhus and dysentery in the camps, which they wanted to prevent, to keep the workers healthy, for the obvious reason you cannot get work out of a corpse. So, you know, we've just had endless decades of bullshit from about the Holocaust. My God, they got memorials all over the world. You talk about a big lie. And as I've explained elsewhere, the whole reason for trying to preserve the myth is because that Jewish political power is rooted in a Western sense of guilt about the Holocaust. And they're worried if it exposes, it's going to be diminished. Well, I mean, the massiveness of the lie is overwhelming. I'm sure I've mentioned before at the Ernst Sundell trials in Canada, where he was put on trial for being a Holocaust denier. The first trial in 1985 was distinctly because a prosecutor couldn't put on a single witness who could swear to seeing anyone put to death in a gas chamber. And the second trial in 1988 was significant because Fred Lochter, who was leading expert on gas chambers in the world, had gone there, visited the camps, and came back with a report showing there was nothing there that would remotely have served the function of a gas chamber. And I would have thought that put an end to it, but no, the propaganda goes on and on and on, and you're seeing a massiveness. You're seeing a wonderful illustration right here of how the Democrats put spin on something as shocking as this Pelosi thing, which is a gay business. I mean, wait till you hear the rest of the detail. Lurid is the right word for it, but that's the reality. That's what happened here. I'm putting this together, going to multiple sources. This is a stunning story, and it's coming at the worst possible time for the Democrats, on top of all the poll results we just saw, where independents are swinging massively against the Democrats. Massively against the Democrats. And so too are Hispanics, most of whom are Catholic. I mean, the Democrats have gone on a rampage about abortion right up to birth. In fact, they even have advocates, a former governor of Virginia, who was advocating infanticide, that if you didn't kill it before birth, you can kill it after. I mean, who in God's name is going to endorse that? I believe in a woman's right to choose, but remember under Roe, after the end of the second trimester, when viability or the ability of the fetus to survive outside of the uterine environment, you can only justify an abortion. It's only legal to save the life of the mother and preserve her health. Any other reason, it's murder. They're talking about murders here. They're talking about murders. The Democrats are advocating murder. My God, and Catholics believe in the sanctity of life. So it's not just Hispanics who are turning, and they also resent, of course, a massive flood of migrants. I mean, they earned what they have, and you're getting these migrants getting a red carpet for doing nothing. As I've said before, if the United States only had the same immigration policies as Mexico, we'd be overwhelmingly better off. In Mexico, You can only immigrate if you can show you have something to contribute to the good of Mexican society. That would mean like you had a profession, you were a doctor, a dentist, a professor, blah, blah, blah. If you had something to contribute, a carpenter, a plumber, that would make you eligible. If, in addition, the second requirement, you have the financial resources to support yourself and your family. Just think if we impose those two conditions on this flood of migrants coming into the United States. That's not what this is all about. This is an attack on American culture. They're trying to flood us with migrants who are going to change the demographics of America forever. They have no interest in being assimilated. They're trying to change the country permanently by destroying its culture. This is an aspect of what is known as, my dear friend Stephen Francis has identified, cultural Marxism. That's why they've taken down all the statues of great Americans, including from the South. That was part of the reconciliation between the North and the South, to show respect, mutual respect. And they're taking down all the statues, and they're promoting giving these people the right to every right under the sun, all at taxpayer expense. I mean, it's grotesque, absolutely grotesque. And then, of course, they're destroying our educational system, too, with all this transgender nonsense. It's even emerging that one of the reasons for punishing Russia by way of Ukraine is supposed to be that Russia is a strong Christian nation and is intolerant of transgenders and gays and lesbians. Well, that is their culture. Respect it. This is just disgusting beyond words, and that's all part of destroying classic and traditional American values, too. And frankly, blacks don't like that. Black families in America are basically rather conservative. It's like when I was growing up in South Pasadena in the 50s and in the 60s. It very traditional. Most black families are very traditional. They're not enthusiasts about Black Lives Matter. They're not enthusiasts about rioting. They're not enthusiasts about looting. They're not enthusiasts about arson. They're not enthusiasts about defunding the police. I mean, just think of the very idea that these Democrats were advocating defunding the police. What is more important to a civilization than maintaining law and order and civil relations among parties? So Democrats were part and parcel of this cultural Marxist assault upon America. They are at the spear. They are the tip of the spear, the Democrat Party. And Nancy Pelosi, of course, prominent. She was saying she was surprised there were more of the rioting and looting out there when BLM, the Summer of Love, when they were tearing up American cities and no one was doing anything about it. To the best of my knowledge, none of the participants in those riots has ever been held to account in a court of law. Continuing from the Independent. While the attack on Mr. Pelosi comes amid a surge in reported threats against members of Congress and at a time when Mr. Trump and his supporters continue to push false claims of 2020 election fraud, right-wing commentators, including members of the right-wing media, refuse to believe he was assaulted by a man targeting the House Speaker. Maybe that's because he wasn't. He was a buddy of Paul Pelosi. He was a friend. Paul Pelosi himself said, his name is David, and he's a friend, Paul Pelosi. So who's shoveling the shit? Instead, they've been peddling baseless conspiracies to their base ever since. Just ridiculous. Newsmax host Greg Kelly came under fire for suggesting that Speaker Pelosi even staged the attack that left her 82-year-old husband hospitalized with serious injuries. Just wondering if Nancy Pelosi tried to stage her own mini January 6th, complete with leaving the doors and windows open for insurrectionists and this DePeep fellow, he tweeted on Friday, that or she can't secure her home or office. Kelly seemed to have second thoughts about his comments, later deleting the post, but the tweet was already screen grabbed by several social media users who condemned his comments. I don't know why to condemn him. That's perfectly reasonable. Remember, you got a puzzling situation here. This is like you got Paul Pelosi saying no, he doesn't know who it is, and then admitting he's a friend and his name is David. That's puzzling. What's going on here? Speculation. Well, you got to consider all the alternatives. This is where Alex Jones is so good. He invites speculation. Here's one speculation. They were buddies. He actually did pick him up in a gay bar, but they had an enduring relationship since he was even with him when he was picked up with a DUI. They had a falling out. They had a big fight. And then they tried to stage and fake that it was a break-in, cracking. He has so much security at home, I don't believe anyone could break in without setting off all the security alarms. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then it turns out there was they claim he was alone at home, and yet a third party opened the door and let the police in again. So what's the truth? We have to be able to speculate. If we can't speculate, we can never get to the heart of the matter and figure out the truth. As Sir Carl observed, our most reliable method for discovering the truth is critical debate, discussion, looking at the evidence, exchanges. The media today, the administration, does not want to allow us to engage in that. You're seeing here, right here from the Independent, a perfect illustration of where they're trying to kick the shit out of anybody who raises questions, just as they've used Alex Jones kicking the shit out of anybody who raises questions about Sandy Hook. Mr. Musk's decision to also peddle a conspiracy theory about an attack on a family member of an elected official comes as questions are mounting over how content will be regulated on Twitter with a billionaire businessman at the helm. Prior to the takeover's completion on Thursday, Mr. Musk has pledged to cut back on moderation of content in what he touts as a move to promote free speech. We need that. I believe Elon Musk shelled out about twice what he ought to have paid. He shelled out $44 billion. It should have been in the order of $22. It turns out over half of the bots, half of the participants on Twitter are bots. They're automated. They are shells. They're AI creations. This has raised speculation that users who are banned for making offensive or false posts, and how the hell would the Independent know which are false? And there's nothing about freedom of speech that says you cannot be offensive. There's nothing about freedom of speech that says you have to take into account people's feelings. Alex Jones has been hit with these massive awards, already a billion, and now they're going for trillions for offering opinion because these Sandy Hook parents, and I guarantee you they're all fake, because these fake Sandy Hook parents says what he said hurt their feelings. Give me an effing break. There's nothing about freedom of speech that said you can't hurt people's feelings. That's from political correctness. That's why political correctness is such a monstrous threat to our intellectual integrity. They're asking us to muzzle ourselves and not even say things that might offend somebody. How ridiculous is that? Within hours of the takeover, right-wing commentators began flooding the platform with debunked conspiracy theory. Debunked. They love that word. None of these theories has been debunked. With phrases including Trump won, rising on the site, reported Fortune. The attack on Mr. Pelosi came the same day that the U.S. intel community released a grave warning to law enforcement partners that there could be a surge in domestic violent extremism, particularly toward lawmakers around the November midterms. And of course, we know from Dark Biden that the domestic terrorists are all the conservatives, all the Trump supporters, all the MAGA enthusiasts. Trump was actually doing a whole lot of good things for America, but no, those are the domestic terrorists. Trump made us energy independent. No, those are the domestic terrorists. Trump secured the border. No, those are the domestic terrorists. Trump made the economy surge. No, those are the domestic terrorists. Trump made it so the lowest earning wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate. No, those are domestic terrorists. Give me a break. Don't fall for any of this shit. Data from the U.S. Capitol Police reveals that reports of concerning statements, Capitol Police, by the way, they're run by Nancy Pelosi, statements and threats to members of Congress have almost tripled in the last 4 years. Rising from 3,939 in 2017 to 9,625 in 2021. These threats reached a head on January 6th. And you know, it's interesting. They've tried to ride January 6th. They tried to ride abortion. They've tried to ride even the Alex Jones trials. They think those are winning issues for them in the midterm. And January 6th turned out to be on a list of the 20 more significant issues, it turned out to be number 19. No one gives a shit. Everyone knows it's phony fake. Everyone knows there was no opportunity for a defense of Trump. They were editing the videos when he said at the Ellipse, be peaceful and, you know, in your behavior. They edited that out in the opening, in the very opening of the committee. You knew it was a sham. Chilling footage from that day. See how they're trying to shift to January 6th as they think that's fertile territory for the Democrats. Reveals how some of the rioters hunted for Ms. Pelosi, saying, where's Nancy, as they ransacked her office. I'm willing to bet David DePue never even said anything like that. They just made it up. They made it up because it was a lover spat between two gays, David DePue and Paul Pelosi, and they did not want that to come out. So they made it up. He's supposed to have broken in, but the glass is on the outside, not the end. He's got injuries to his hand and arm. He probably did it himself. He calls in, and somehow he manages to get away. There's a story here that he told his attacker he had to take a pee. Can you imagine? He had to take a leak. He had to go to the bathroom. That's when he called, right? So this guy's attacking him with a hammer, says, okay, yeah, go ahead, take a pee break. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Others were seen chanting, hang Mike Pence, after the vice president refused to attempt to overthrow the election in Mr. Trump's favor. No. All Pence had the obligation to do was, in the case of whether disputed sets of electors, send them back to the states in accordance with the Constitution so the state legislatures could decide which was the proper set of electors, which he failed to do. Mike Pence might deserve to be hung, but that would be for treason, for abdicating his responsibility under the Constitution. Meanwhile, Paul Pelosi attack latest. Elon Musk unapologetic about David DePape tweet as suspect's family speaks out. Nancy Pelosi said she and her family were heartbroken and traumatized by the life-threatening attack. Earlier, the ex-partner of Mr. DePape described the man she raised two sons with as mentally ill for a long time, according to ABC 7. Gypsy Tubb, who called the news station from the California Institution for Women, meaning she's incarcerated, Friday evening described an incident from when they were together during which he disappeared for a year. He came back in very bad shape. He thought he was Jesus. He was constantly paranoid, thinking people were after him, said Tubb, who separated from DePape 7 years ago. Elsewhere, Twitter's new boss Elon Musk was severely criticized and forced to delete a baseless conspiracy theory about the attack, where he tweeted, there's a tiny possibility there might be more to this story than meets the eye. How is that objectionable? I mean, as soon as you know what Paul Pelosi said to the dispatcher, denying he knew the identity, then admitting he was a friend and his name was David, and that he's being attacked by a friend whose name is David, you know there has to be more to the story. He made the post while sharing an article that claimed without evidence a House Speaker's husband met his attacker at a gay bar. Well, here's some comments that appear on some of these stories, and in my opinion, the comments are even more informative than the story. Get this. Biden is a fraud. That's a handle. The police verified they were both in their underwear attacking each other with a hammer. Paul Pelosi's lover, David DePape, a Berkeley Green Party member, is very likely the unidentified person who was with Paul when he got busted for a DUI. A lot more what is going on than meets the eye. Dick Turpin. And police seem to have dropped the assailant broke into the house tag. The assailant was in the house but did not break in. What does that tell us? The white hats. I want to hammer this home. The break-in story is beyond far-fetched. The Pelosis have security up to yin-yang under normal circumstances. This is likely a drug-fueled party scene or a lover spat. Suspicious voter. Definitely in this cockamamie story in the press is ridiculous. More, consider this. One story said the alarm went off and the police were doing a welfare check. This story has so many holes it was probably concocted by the corrupt inept FBI. Live free or die. There was no forcible entry into the house or Paul. Dorothea 76. Broken glass was found outside the house, not inside the home. Breaking in would cause glass to be inside the house. The man found only his underwear with Paul Pelosi was also in the car when Pelosi was arrested for DUI, and some sites claim the guy is a male prostitute and the hammer they were fighting over is a sex toy. The 911 call has been released, and Paul P. sounds confused per reports. Get this, John Galt adds. The confusion in the reports of the hammer is because it was a 24-ounce dildo called the hammer, sources confirm. Nick Fashno, Pelosi got pounded by a prostitute with a plastic penis? Live free or die. There was no... I got the order wrong here. Eric, can you blame him? Naked hammer man sounds more appealing than denture malfunction, Nancy. Anacondo, gross. Ha, 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 ha. Fred L., Nasty Nancy could be the cause of erectile dysfunction worldwide. John Mansville, little Polly been getting into a lot of trouble lately while Mama Piglosi away. John Campbell, David DePape was a nudist, so maybe underwear was his way of wearing armor. Delta Blues, misidentified as a nudist if underwear is involved. Here's a comment. Nice summary overview. No break-in. 911 calls for over a half hour. Paul is in underwear. Assailant in underwear. Both had only one. Both or only one had a hammer. Assailant took a hammer from Paul, hit him with police present. Police were only doing a welfare check in this gated community with private security. Broken windows from inside is glass on outside. Methinks a man like Paul who hangs out in gay bars and brings young men home late at night as attested to by neighbors had a spat with his date. His date is a radical leftist. His date is not a mega man. His date is registered green and lives in Berkeley in a nudist community supporting BLM. Nudist ex-lover of Paul Pelosi attacker is female pedophile who harassed boy 14 and who bought sex dolls for their sons to use.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
There are more comments here, some of which are rather hilarious. We got Bouncing Bee. I also saw the article here that DeBree was at a nudist wedding. DePap was at a nudist wedding. DePap was not naked. He was a minister. Actually, he appears to have been filming the event. Clyde, obvious monkeypox and no condom created the problem. John Campbell, he called it his Belt of Plus Two Modesty, Delta Blue, damn, missed that one. Spangler the Deplorable, doctors removed a gerbil from his rectum. John Gate, Richard Greer could not be reached for questions. Stanley Castleberry, I never understood people of money not having security and people like the Squad getting $400,000 a month taxpayer-funded private security. Karnak 5, the Pelosis have security up the yin-yang. This is an inside job with a couple of perverts. I'm vexed. An inside job, yuck, what that denotes. Mike Jinpeas, up the yin-yang. Oh, I see what you did there. Delta Blue, the pervs are sure pervasive. Sir Talbercup, the ones without security, often the ones with lifestyles they can't afford to have. Witnesses to the Pelosis are exactly the kind of creeps that have nasty secrets, like FJB taking showers with his underage teen daughter. Coffee Man 30B, was Paul his gay lover? Hashtag hypocrites, they seem to take after the Clintons. All that seems to me to be far more accurate and informative than what we're getting from the mainstream press. I mean, this is one of those nice cases where when you compare what makes sense with what's being published in the media, you can get a measure of the divergence of what is being published in the press from the truth, the measure of propaganda. The divergence is overwhelming. And notice, always, 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 the divergence is in a direction favorable to the Democrats, to the liberals, to the progressives. Never, never, never favorable to conservatives or Trump supporters or those of us who care about the Constitution. Never. It's just monstrous how we are played. Meanwhile, there's a whole lot more about this guy and where he resided in this hippie commune. Listen to this. If you got any doubts about whether this guy is right or left, listen to this. Paul Pelosi attacker lived in Berkeley hippie commune. Now, if you know anything about Berkeley, you know it's far left, and a hippie commune left to far left. Dave DePap, the man accused of attacking Paul Pelosi with a hammer, and now we know the hammer is actually a massive dildo, lived inside a school bus parked outside of his former lover's home in the weeks leading up to the attack, according to his neighbors. DePap's neighbors said he slept back and forth between a broken-down camper van and a school bus parked outside pro-nudist activist Gypsy Tom's home in Berkeley. According to DePap's neighbors, Margarita and Julio Gonzalez, he used to live inside the house with Tom and her family before staying off and on the bus in the bus parked outside. Here you have a tweet from Michael Schellenberger with photographs. In the driveway, there's a broken-down camper van. On the street is a yellow school bus, which neighbors said DePap occasionally stayed in. Both are filled with garbage, typical of such structures in homeless encampments. DePap, who shares two children with Tom, was in a romantic relationship with a pro-nudist activist before she married someone else. DePap served as best man at Tom's nude wedding, which ultimately led to Tom's arrest for being naked in public. Now, here you have him recording the nude wedding of Gypsy Tom, and he's fully dressed. But he's recording it on a video cam. There you see him. Meanwhile, according to DePap's neighbor, Ryan Lacoste, there was a huge fight at the Tom DePap compound one day after Tom's wedding. Lacoste said he wasn't surprised at all after learning DePap was a man accused of breaking into Pelosi's residence and attacking Paul Pelosi. I wasn't surprised because another crazy story is coming from someone in that house, Lacoste said. They're always toxic and always up to something. They're always on the news and trying to be activists. They always want to be in the spotlight. A closer look at Tom's residence and the buses DePap reportedly slept in revealed an affinity for left-leaning political causes, which stands in stark contrast to attempts to link the attacker to mega extremists, as Breitbart reported. For example, an American flag with rainbow colors and marijuana leaves can be seen in front of the house. Looking closer, a handwritten Black Lives Matter sign can be seen hanging in one of the home's windows. Further, another sign posted in a different window reads, "Berkeley stands united against hate," which refers to a Berkeley-based organization that aims to stop the hate and implicit biases that are a dangerous threat to the safety and civility of our neighborhoods, towns, and cities. A closer look at the van parked in Tom's driveway showed more signs of support for left-leaning political causes. Michael Schellenberg, another tweet. Neighbors described DePap as a homeless drug addict with a politics that was until recently left-wing, but of secondary importance to his psychotic and paranoid behavior. Here's another. And as I discovered yesterday, DePap lived with a notorious local nudist in a Berkeley home complete with a Black Lives Matter sign in the window and an LGBTQ rainbow flag emblazoned with a marijuana symbol hanging from a tree. Another sticker had sarcastic dictionary entry for the word liberal, which defined it as one who is generous, one who favors greater freedom in political or religious matters, one free from prejudice or narrow thinking. The sicker said antonyms or the opposite of a liberal could be stingy, mean, bigoted, or conservative. Does anyone have any doubt about the politics of this guy? The camper van also had an advertisement for a natural addiction treatment hanging over it, which, according to reports, advertises the use of the psychedelic drug, Ibogaine, that the DePap family brought back to the United States from Mexico. Another neighbor told reporters that the DePap family are very radical activists. They seem very left. They are all about the Black Lives Matter movement, gay pride. But they're very detached from reality, said one neighbor who identified as Trish. They have called the cops on several of the neighbors, including us, claiming we are plotting against them. It's really weird to see that they are willing to be so aggressive towards somebody else who is also a lefty, meaning Paul Pelosi. Meanwhile, believe it or not, other events are going on in the world. I want to share some of those with you. Una momento. Vladimir Putin gave a marvelous speech at Valdai, which has been deconstructed by Joaquin Hagopian on my blog. You want to check this now. Check this out. This is very, very important. On Thursday, October 27th, Russian President Vladimir Putin addressed the annual Valdai discussion group with an RT headline reading, No one can sit out the coming storm. Putin's milestone Valdai speech. The article lists the important takeaways, followed by the key Putin quotes in italics. This presentation offers my commentary after each of the 7 takeaway points. During these harrowing moments when nuclear Armageddon appears closer today than any previous time in history, including the October missile crisis of 1962, then when Premier Nikita Khrushchev was confronted by American President John F. Kennedy, given the ultimatum to either remove the Soviet-installed nuclear missiles in Cuba or face nuclear confrontation, the Soviet leader opted to send the missiles back to the USSR. Let me add, there was a secret agreement between JFK and Khrushchev to remove American nuclear missiles in Turkey. So there was a quid pro quo. They take them out of Cuba if we take them out of Turkey. The public wasn't informed. No doubt, Jack got additional publicity for his heroic stance, but he certainly did the right thing. He was rational, responsible, deliberate, made a very appropriate compromise by taking the U.S. missiles out of Turkey in response for the Soviets taking their missiles out of Cuba. And by the way, they already had tactical nuclear weapons in Cuba. If we had invaded, the outcome would have been very, very bad. Practically no one is aware, but they already had tactical nukes in Cuba. Meanwhile, from that historic development, this is Joaquin now, evolved a mutually assured destruction that became the effective mutual deterrent that shaped subsequent restrained behavior on both sides during the Cold War. But that ethical principle that applied throughout the remainder of the Cold War clearly no longer applies today. And of course, what he's talking about, mutually assured destruction, is that the two superpowers knew that if one were attacked to the other, there would be a massive retaliation and they would both be destroyed. Both be destroyed. So we had an era of peace. This is, by the way, a reason why I believe it would be good for Iran to have nukes. Because then they'd have peace in the Middle East. You'd have an era of mutually assured destruction between Israel and Iran. Now, I actually fully believe Iran, which has disavowed the pursuit of nuclear weapons, has sophisticated conventional, or let's say non-nuclear weapons sufficient to take out Israel. I have no doubt about it. And the Israelis will test that proposition at their own risk. I believe Iran can take out Israel, and that Israel actually knows, but loves to move right up to the line, push the envelope. They appear to be promoting a war between the U.S. and Russia. We'll get what now Joaquin is reporting here about this important speech by Putin. He has stated in recent weeks that to protect his nation, he would be willing to use his nuclear weapons. This has led to unprecedented warmongering rhetoric on both sides, and over this last month, near daily allegations made by both Ukraine and Russia of a tactical nuclear dirty bomb used as a false flag. Several of my previous articles, many, even most of which have been published on my blog at jameshfetzer.org, jameshfetzer.org. Remember, jameshfetzer.org was taken improperly, even under Wisconsin law, and given to Posner and redirected to documents in relation to the taking case right here in the Circuit Court of Wisconsin. Ridiculous. That was deliberately to make it impossible for those who wanted to find out what that guy who, during the first Alex Jones trial for damages in Austin, who was described as batshit crazy, had to say about Sandy Hook. They had to get rid of the blog. The judge even gave him the book. I mean, this is just incredible, and it's all wrong, so I'm seeking to do what I can to set it right. Several of my previous articles, as I say, check them out at jameshfetzer.org. Just go there and search on Joaquin Hagopian, H-A-G-O-P-I-A-N. Shown that the threat is very real that Ukraine or the West may release a nuke to blame Russia as instigation for World War III between NATO, U.S., and Russia. The Thursday speech by Putin was as much addressed to his fellow Russians as to the people of the rest. The RT takeaways in my responses follow. I will not read all of this, but I will read part of it. Seven takeaways. First, the West stokes conflict to preserve hegemony. Putin, ruling the world is what the so-called West has staked in this game, which is certainly dangerous, bloody, and I would say dirty. It denies the sovereignty of countries and peoples, their identity and uniqueness, and disregards any interests of other states. Now, of course, he's speaking in Russian, but this appears to be a correct translation. Joaquin, the Western Empire of lies led by the United States but controlled by the Khazarian Mafia has enjoyed sole superpower status for over three decades and, like a drug, can't give it up. The 1991 breakup of the Soviet Union marked the beginning of this brief unipolar hegemonic reign of exclusive U.S. power and self-entitled exceptionalism. Ever since, the U.S. foreign policy toward Russia has been one of constant provocation, obsessively attempting in vain to weaken Moscow by any and all means necessary. And for over two decades now, the U.S. and Western media have demonized Russia's leader, all the while attempting to win over nations along Russia's border in order to recruit them to join NATO and install U.S. nuclear missiles aimed at Russia. In more recent years, the U.S. agenda has grown overtly aggressive to outright regime change, removing Putin from power to select a weak puppet to control and thereby steal Russia's vast natural resources. But now, with national economies in both North America and Europe cratering, those days of U.S. unipolar hegemony are over. Wake up and join the rest of the now multipolar world, or be the pariah that all other nations avoid while quietly celebrating the fall of the Western civilization, because all it meant to the rest of the world is centuries of imperialistic racism, indentured servitude, and genocidal enslavement. Humble yourself and move on as a dethroned power that hobbles along just to stay alive now. Either respect all nations' sovereignty and right to national security or perish. Second, rules for thee but not for me, Putin. As soon as something becomes profitable for themselves, they change the rules immediately on the go in the course of the game. Joaquin. While the U.S. is constantly denigrating and punishing any and all other nations attempting to remain independent of America's hegemonic sphere of influence as the global bully, the U.S. habitually threatens military invasion, regime change, engaging in overt coercion, customarily resorting to piling on economic sanctions that ultimately inhumanely hurt the targeted nation's poorest populations. While Washington, D.C. is a globalist enforcer, arbitrarily accusing the targeted nations for various violations of international rule of law, or worse yet, arbitrarily changes the rule of law to suit its own exploitative advantage, evoking its privileged exceptionalism that grants itself immunity to violate any law it chooses, it rigs the game. So controllers of the D.C. puppets always stand to profit the most while browbeating and bullying other nations into submission. A recent example is committing a terrorist act of war and betrayal against a supposed Western ally, Germany, blowing up the Nord Stream pipelines, depriving heat for the winter and energy to run its industry, forcing widespread bankruptcy and deadly famine. Yet the vassal that is the European Union's kingpin is driven to its subservient knees, too afraid to even confront the backstabbing American aggressor. The domino effect is the death of Europe, with the same fate soon befalling North America as well. Puppet politicians do not act in the interests of their citizens, but only the dirty bidding of their criminal masters bent on destroying the West for depopulation purposes. I'll just identify the others. Putin is spot on. Third, cancel culture. Liberal democracy has transformed into something unrecognizable, declaring any alternative viewpoint as propaganda or a threat. The so-called cancel culture destroys anything that is alive and creating, preventing any freedom of thought in culture, economics, and politics alike. Fourth, Russia does not seek domination. Russia is an independent, original civilization and has never considered itself an enemy of the West. Since antiquity, it has had ties with the West of traditional Christian and Muslim values, freedom, patriotism, and a rich culture. There is another West, however, an aggressive cosmopolitan neocolonialist acting as a tool of neoliberal elites whose dictates Russia will never accept. Russia simply defends its right to exist and develop freely. At the same time, we ourselves are not seeking to become some kind of new hegemon. Fifth, Western hegemony is ending. We are standing at an historic milestone ahead of which is probably the most dangerous, unpredictable, and at the same time important decade since the end of World War II. The West is not able to single-handedly manage humanity, but is desperately trying to do it. And most of the peoples of the world no longer want to put up with it. No one can sit out the coming storm, which has acquired a global character. Humanity has two choices. Either to continue to accumulate a burden of problems that will inevitably crush us all, or to try together to find solutions, albeit imperfect, but working, capable of making our world safer and more stable. Six, what a multipolar world should look like. Above all, we believe that the new world order should be based on law and justice, be free and authentic and fair. The future world order is being formed before our eyes, and in this world order, we must listen to everyone, take into account every point of view, every nation, society, culture, every system of worldviews, ideas, and religious beliefs, without imposing a single truth on anyone, and only on this basis understand our responsibility for the fate of our peoples and the planet, to build a symphony of human civilization. Seven, thoughts on the West, wokeism, and gender theory. If Western elites believe that they can incorporate into the minds of their people, their societies, things that I personally find somewhat weird, and which are apparently in fashion, like dozens of genders and gay pride parades, so be it. Let them do whatever they want. Their difference from the so-called neoliberal values is that in every case they are unique, because they stem from the traditions of a particular society, its culture, and historic experience. That is why you cannot force them on somebody. You should simply respect them, cherish what each nation picked for itself over centuries. Here, final thoughts from Joaquin. Again, Putin accurately applies tact and diplomacy, stating how all the wokeism, bullshit, and transgender perversion and decadence in the West that constantly attempts to normalize pedophilia in the mass media is not for him or his culture. But he attempts to accept that each culture and nation is free to accept whatever its historic tradition and values it embraces as their own. He expresses more tolerance than I, maybe, because it's not bringing down his culture like it is the American. Having the degenerates cramming their sick agenda down our throats as a clueless, brainwashed left that engage in criminal election fraud to illegitimately claim their power, knowing that Biden's treasonous policies are fast destroying America. This clown show is hard to even stomach. Well said. Meanwhile, from South Front, this is going to grab you. evidence that U.S. intends a blitz nuclear strike at the Kremlin. Alexander Mercurius headline on October 29th, Biden quietly moves world closer toward Armageddon, Finland ready to host nukes, discussing a U.S. plan to trap Russia by possessioning its nuclear missiles about 500 miles or 7 minutes of missile flight time from the Kremlin, a checkmate, a beheading of Russia's central command so Russia won't have enough time to launch retaliatory strikes and demand Russia's surrender, since there's no way Russia's central command would be able to assess the situation with only 7 minutes and get its missiles launched. There is a history to this plan, and the U.S. government decision to do this seems to have been made in or around 2006, when America's two most prestigious national security academic journals, Foreign Affairs and National Security, both recommended, though ever so tactfully, rebasing the idea actually meant a strategy of mutually assured destruction, or MAD, that nuclear weapons exist only in order to prevent World War II by the U.S. meta-strategy of nuclear primacy, that America will use them so as to win a nuclear war, World War III, against Russia. Positioning those missiles in Ukraine was supposed to be the way to do this. But since that's looking increasingly likely now, it is to be Finland, the second nearest nation to the Kremlin, which is taking on this function, if Turkey's President Erdogan will allow it into NATO, which will be his most fateful decision ever. Then on 1 March 2017, two leading American experts on nuclear arms control published in the Bulletin of the American Scientists saying a new type of nuclear fuse was being installed on U.S. missiles, creating exactly what one would expect to see if a nuclear-armed state were planning to have the capacity to fight and win a nuclear war by disarming enemies with a surprise first state. That strike now is expected to be coming from Finland instead of from Ukraine. On October 28th, Russia's RT bannered Biden backtracks on nuclear pledge. The Pentagon has failed to impose a limit on the use of the atomic option despite the president's promise that he'd switch policies. We'll be right back and we will take your calls.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia. at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I want to encourage first-time callers to give me a buzz, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. We have some excellent regulars, but I really would like to hear from voices who haven't called in before. So please take this opportunity to call in, 540-352-4452. Meanwhile, I'm going to continue to report on this change in policy. Notice this occurred in 2006 when Bush and Cheney were in office. They changed American strategic nuclear policy to one that would facilitate a first strike against Russia. And do you think Russia's unaware of what's going on here? Does anyone have any doubt that they know what the hell is going on here? And that they have, under international law, the right, if they are aware that a first strike is planned against them, to take a preemptive strike. This is validated by international law. So if the U.S., NATO, and these knuckleheads get these missiles into Finland, and they have a plan to attack Russia, can take them all out and be completely consistent with international law. Get the following. On October 28, Russia's RT bannered, Biden backtracks on nuclear pledge. The Pentagon has failed to impose a limit on the use of atomic options despite President's promise, and reported that President Biden has switched his policy because of advice from the Pentagon, which says that America will not need to have an option to start nuclear war with Russia, not merely to respond, will need to have an option to start nuclear war with Russia. Not merely to respond to it from Russia. Russia's policy on nuclear first use is very clear and is no Russian version of America's nuclear primacy policy. Here it is. There are four scenarios in which Russia reserves the right to use nuclear weapons, that is, to go beyond nuclear deterrence. One, obtaining reliable information about the launch of ballistic missiles attacking Russia. That's what they're getting here right now. Second, the use of nuclear weapons or other weapons of mass destruction against Russia. Third, some impact on objects, a failure which will lead to the disruption of the response of nuclear forces. Fourth, aggression against Russia with the use of conventional weapons when the very existence of the state is threatened. Of course, there's also the possibility the situation in Ukraine could develop into one in which condition four might be the one that would spark a Russian first strike against America or its allies, but that now seems less likely than a U.S. first strike from Finland. And Finland was part of Hitler's Operation Barbarossa invasion of the Soviet Union. It allied with Hitler. This time, it would be allied with Biden. I cannot begin to tell you how bad this is. And here's further confirmation. NATO wants to place nuclear weapons on Finland's Russian border. Finland says yes. According to Newsweek on October 26, Finland will allow NATO to place nuclear weapons on border with Russia. They cite Finnish media reports. Allegedly, a condition that NATO had placed on Finland to join NATO was to allow American nuclear missile to be positioned on Finland's Russian border, which is closer to Moscow than any other except Ukraine's. Whereas Ukraine's would be 5 minutes from blitz-nuking Moscow so as to preemptively decapitate Russia's retaliatory command, Russia's would be 7 minutes, only around 120 seconds longer for Russia to be able to launch its retaliatory strikes. Finland now is to vote on the bill joining NATO on that basis to become America's spearhead to defeat Russia in World War III. Obviously, assuming that NATO had indeed given Finland's leaders to believe that saying yes to this would increase NATO's likelihood of expediting Finland's application to join, NATO is set upon checkmating Russia into capitulation if Finland does join. Newsweek also reports, the U.S. already has around 100 nuclear weapons in Europe, positioned in Belgium, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, and Turkey, according to the Federation of American Scientists. Britain and France, both NATO members, also maintain their own independent nuclear arsenals. None of these countries borders Russia. They're all much further away. Well, in my judgment, Finland has just signed its own death warrant. This was incredibly stupid. For most of my life, I have admired the Scandinavian nations because they remained independent. They were neutral. Sweden, Denmark, Norway, I thought these were really intelligent nations with responsible leadership. I can see now I was wrong. Stunning. Well, we do have a couple callers on the line. Bruce from Texas, join the conversation.
Hey, hello, Jim. Am I coming through all right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, super. I'm not going to be that long. Going back to the Paul Pelosi deal, here's a comment on RT by Bob Frankel. Two partially nude men late at night in San Francisco. Do the math. You know, they had this thing set up, I think, because the following day, his whole, every box was checked. The 9/11, he was looking into QAnon and election, you know, and all this stuff. And everything, like, had a laundry list of everything they hate this guy was looking into. I don't know. I agree with that other guy. It's right before the election. October surprise. That's how I see it. Either guy was set up or something like that. Go ahead.
Well, October surprise is supposed to benefit you. This is a humiliation for the Democrat Party. There's no way in which this can possibly benefit the Democrats. And when you put it together with the fact that these latest polls are showing an overwhelming surge in support for the GOP from independents, especially, and I've been reporting how Catholics, including the Hispanics, most of whom are Catholic, are simply appalled by the enthusiasm that the Democrats have shown for killing babies, as it's put. Now, I've explained how in a technical sense that's not quite right, but it's certainly close enough. Killing babies, and in some cases let this former governor of Virginia literally committing infanticide. I mean, this is appalling. This is appalling. Even if you're pro-choice, you cannot reasonably endorse this enthusiasm for unrestricted abortion. I think they're riding on that. The writing on January 6th, which everyone knows to be a sham, and I think they're even trying to ride on the Alex Jones trials, which are a clown show in and of themselves. just simply ridiculous, Bruce. I can't see any way possible that Democrats could win an election, so they're going to try to find a way of forestalling, circumventing. They'll try to cheat, but frankly, I think the support for the Republicans is so great. I think even their conventional forms of cheating won't work any better than they did in 2016 when the election was rigged for Hillary, and I guarantee you 100% it was rigged for Hillary. But as Richard Charnin observed, if you're going to steal election, you got to know where the votes are. The votes are in the big cities. And they didn't anticipate the rural uprising in support of Trump that overwhelmed and led to his election. Now, I do believe early voting turns out to be a calamity because it gives the Democrats opportunity to stop these fake mail-in ballots again and again and again. Even third world countries, they don't allow mail-in balloting because they know it's a form of easiest way to steal an election. So they claim under, you know, the guise of democracy, of letting everyone vote, you should not even require ID for voting, which means anyone can vote. And of course, you know, in California, they have a motor voter law that when you obtain a driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote, which sounds just great if you don't know that illegals in California are allowed to obtain a driver's license and therefore are automatically registered to vote. The Democrats would like this to be the case nationwide. No, this Pelosi thing is a huge scandal. And, you know, the fact that he knew this guy, that he even appears to have been in the car with him when he was arrested for driving under the influence, that he fabricated and claimed he didn't know him, then identified his name was David and he was a friend, that there was no break-in. You could not have a break-in at the Pelosi residence with all of the security going on. This is a $6 million mansion. And he was supposed to be at home alone. But then who was the third party who opened the door and let in the police? I mean, this is all ridiculous. And the point about the hammer is, in my opinion, impeccable, because a hammer turns out to be a name for this huge dildo where apparently Pelosi was having the hell beat out of him by this David DePoop guy using this giant dildo that they'd been using on each other. I mean, this is as grotesque and lurid and scandalous as it gets, and it all reflects right on the Democrats and their policies right in San Francisco. I mean, this guy is married to the Speaker of the House. Oh, my God. This is and it's not going to go away. There are so many aspects to this. We're going to hear about Paul Pelosi and his gay lover all the way up to the midterm election. Count on it.
Well, they're going to call it Paul Pelosi denial. He looked past the headlines. I'm not sure, is the mainstream media reporting on these discrepancies? It looked like they were running full tilt with the official narrative.
Well, see, that's another aspect of this that's so good. The story, they want to peddle that this was all Trump's fault, for example, you know, which is about as ludicrous as it gets, is so divergent from the facts. When the facts start getting out in the alternative media, now that you have Elon Musk taking over Twitter, and Musk is even implying there's more to the story, everyone is going to know. I think Musk shelled out $22 billion he didn't have to pay to benefit the American people by creating a bona fide free speech site. So everyone should get onto Twitter. Everyone should be reporting these stories. Everyone, do your best. I got booted off of Twitter about a year and a half ago, I would guess, when I had only relatively recently joined. I had 2,500 followers. I had about the same number of tweets. A friend of mine in Cleveland had encouraged me to do it. Well, I'm going to get back on Twitter. Twitter is going to become so important, and that it's reviving. Putting Trump back on, too, for example, is just absolutely sensational. I say all hats off to Elon Musk. He's done us a good turn. More, Bruce?
Yeah, look, if it goes the way it's looking and the Republicans regain the Congress, the House, Nancy Pelosi is going to be knocked down to minority leader, and it's going to be practically the end of her political career. So this could have been just a Hail Mary, but who knows? Or just a fortunate thing that they could spin. You know, let's see. Let's hope it all works out on Election Day.
Yeah, I don't think the situation is salvageable. I don't think it's salvageable. I think the Democrats are in deep shit, and there's no way they can work out of it. The problem is going to be there for, can they forestall it? Do they want to create a nuclear war to enable Biden to declare martial law in the United States in the name of national security and suspend the election? I think it may come to that. It's absolutely grotesque that they would put at risk, and that they would put at risk the lives of hundreds of millions of Americans in order to preserve their political power. But don't put that past the Democrats. They've already shown they're utterly unscrupulous, and they could care less about the Constitution or the rights of the American people. They have fabricated all these events. They stole the election. They generated, manufactured January 6th. They've been promoting propaganda about every issue under the sun, the right and left. It's unreal, unreal, unreal. Further thought, Bruce?
No, that's all I have. I'm going to go ahead and go. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you called in. Mitchell, I'd really like to get your opinion. I don't know if you yourself on your show have been covering some of these same stories. I'd love your thoughts, my friend.
Hey, Jim. Well, you know, while we're talking about these stories, you know, there's breaking stories that that make this stuff look like child play, unfortunately.
Tell me.
One of the breaking stories is coming out this morning that Catherine Albrecht, is that her name, from Truth with the True the Vote? And yeah. Greg, is it Greg Phillips? That they have been arrested, I guess. And that this whole thing has been with Eugene Yeo and Connect has been part of a counterintelligence operation, possibly run out of California with Gascon and Adam Schiff and others to take down True the Vote. It's some crazy stuff. Evidently, the people they were meeting with in Houston were FBI informants. So, you know, whoever is out here, including myself and everybody, just be aware. You know, the chances of you meeting somebody just coming up and saying hi and putting something in your pocket.
Well,
it does happen.
Well, Mitchell, I respect that. I respect that as an important story, but it doesn't. It's dwarfed by the stories I'm reporting here about Pelosi and the vote, the independents going massively for the GOP. I mean, what you're talking about is something.
The election, the swing to the GOP and the election, that's real. That happened weeks ago. And what is happening is it's just like the 2016 election and the polling cycles is when they can no longer hide it from the village idiot. They have to roll it out. They have to find a fall guy, which, of course, is going to be Joe Biden. And they will attempt to they will attempt to do damage control. But what I see is this drive to work to create an atmosphere of violence going right into, and then of course, because it's already baked into the cake, the Democrats will lose the Senate, the Democrats will lose the House, and the investigations will start. So they will need nuclear war or massive civil unrest by loony liberals to cover for the Democratic failures. Plus, it's going to be Joe Biden impeached. So, you know, take
care. Well, see, the problem with impeaching Biden is that Kamala Harris is an airhead. She's utterly incompetent. I mean, that may have been the reason for installing her.
Okay, that's I agree. But do we really believe that either Kamala Harris or Joe Biden are running the government right now? I don't think either of them are.
But suppose you impeach Biden. Suppose you impeach Kamala. Who then do you think becomes president of the United States?
May God help us all. I don't know. Okay.
The Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House. Nancy Pelosi.
Jim, this is the same conundrum that Trump faced. He knew about all and could see all of the corruption in the FBI, the DOJ, the NSA, the CIA, everywhere. And he couldn't fire everybody at once. And I'm sorry, but that's what's going to have to happen. You're going to have a whole house cleaning, and you're going to have to get rid of 30 to 40% of these professional government con artists. And it's it may not sound good, but God bless. We have to get this shit out of the system.
Well,
the U.S.
you know,
government needs a good enema.
Trump has a plan called Schedule F to get rid of the senior executive service that's immune from being fired. He's created a new level that enables him to fire those. Your point about the polling, and frankly, Mitchell, the article I was reporting is dated the 30th. That was yesterday. This is brand new. This is a CBS poll that 8 out of 10 Americans believe the country is out of control. Now, if you were on this weeks ago, my hat is off to you. The point is, this is coming from CBS. This is not a conservative outlet, and it's devastating to the Democrats.
I agree. They can't hide the numbers anymore. If you want to look at polling numbers and you're interested in accurate political numbers, check out the People's Pundit, People's Pundit Daily or peoplespundit.com. His name's Rich Barris. They have accurate polling information. In 2020 and 2016, they were hitting the nails on the head. And I'm just saying they're not a partisan. All media, CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox News, they all play a role in this perceptive political game that we have today. And if people think they're going to win,
go ahead.
You know, they have control of your brain stem, period. End of story. They have control of people at the brain stem, and, they jungle them around and tell them who to vote for. That's why all the news shows are essentially, they're not news. It's political advertising for a certain candidate or a certain political party.
I don't think there's a single listener to Revolution Radio who isn't aware of that, Mitchell. We all agree with that. The point is, how can you doubt the fact that CBS, which is a left-leaning outlet, is admitting that 80% of the independents are breaking for the GOP? How can that not be significant? How can you view that as in any possible way benefiting the Democrats? I do not see that.
I don't believe it benefits the Democrats. All I'm trying to point out is that this shift happened weeks and months ago. Okay. And because the media uses its power and of perception, and polling is a lot of that, they actually can swing 3 to 4 points in an election very easily just by manipulating. Well, should I go vote? Does the guy, my guy really need the vote? It doesn't matter. If vote, it don't stay home because you think he's going to lose. Don't stay home because you think he's got a slam dunk. I don't advise anybody to stay home. I advise everybody to vote.
Nobody's going to stay home. Believe me, Mitchell, there's going to be the biggest turnout for an election in our history, even bigger than 2016. 2020 was massive, but they manipulated the whole thing. They'll try to do it again. I'm not at all sure they can pull it off, but I believe more likely is to try to circumvent the election altogether, you know, by the threat of nuclear war or actually precipitating a nuclear war. And I guarantee the outcome is not one the West is going to like. I guarantee 100%.
Well,
Russia had, go ahead.
There's one thing we know for sure. Is that Democrats get the dead vote, okay? And every dead voter votes Democrat, period, end of story, okay?
Yeah.
We got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to the break, my friend.
No, I know. Lyndon once gave an interview from a graveyard saying these people deserve to vote as much as anyone alive.
Well, I think it was down in Texas? They, I forget which group it was, AARP or some group. They were actually registering dead people to vote. So, you know.
Well, I don't think it would be the AARP. I mean, that's the Association for Retired People. I've been a member of that myself.
Yeah.
You think it was they?
He's a 20-some-year-old in ARP now. You just got to say you have an old parent. AARP isn't what it used to be, my friend.
Well, that may well be. That may well be, Mitchell, and I appreciate it.
I'll post this clip in here for you, too. Oh, my God, yes. Evidently, Beto O'Rourke... some of their people were caught cheating on ballots. So,
yeah, well, surprise, 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 surprise. Mitchell, it's all. I thank you for joining in. Good work.
God bless you, bro.
I want to thank everyone for being here. Listen, pay attention to what's going on. Don't let yourself be played. And by God, spend as much time as you can with your friends and people you love and care about. Literally, we do not know how much time we have left.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take,
but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence